Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Lord God, our Father, we come to you this morning as we seek your vision. As we seek your will for Village. Lord, as we ask the questions of why do you have us here at this point in time, at this location, and it is your plans. This morning, as we start a series exploring those plans and that vision, may your word speak to us. May you challenge us to be about the things that you want us to be about, Lord. May your Holy Spirit open your word this morning. In your name, amen. I remember a number of years ago now, before I was married, I remember driving, and one particular evening I was driving, I had a number of friends in the car, we had just gone to youth group, and we were driving home from youth group, and we were pulling out of this side street, and onto Whittier Boulevard, if any of you are familiar with the Whittier area, a pretty big street at that point, and I can remember still clearly what happened as I'm making a left turn onto Whittier Boulevard. And I'm waiting at the street. I look both ways, as every good young driver does. But I did, and I look both ways, and I look to my left, and I look to my right, and I look to my left again, and then I pull out. And what I remember next is all my friends in the car screaming at the top of their lungs, "There's a car! Don't! Stop!" And I slam on my brakes, and this car swerves, and I almost hit him. And I can remember that so vividly, because what I remember about the event is sitting there with our hearts pounding and thinking, I almost just killed some of my best friends, and how serious that was. But I remember vividly thinking, I looked, and I did not see that car. A few weeks later, we went to the eye doctor, and couldn't see the eye charts either, which was tends to be a bad sign. And so we quickly got glasses, and I don't think I was allowed to drive for a little while, and it just, until we got glasses. I bring that up at the beginning of this morning as we start a series wanting to check our vision as a church, wanting to examine what does God have for us at Village. The thing about your eyes and the thing about what can happen with your eyes is you should get them checked periodically. It's not just, hey, I did it when I was 5. I don't have to do it again. For me, that almost got me killed. But it's something that we do regularly to say, are we on the right track? Do we have the right focus? Do we have the right vision? As you see by the picture, we have a pair of eyeglasses there, and everything's blurry around except for the picture of the church in the middle. And throughout the next 5-6 weeks, we want to explore what is God's vision for Village. What does he have for us here? What is our vision statement? What are we about? Why are we here in 2008 in Garden Grove on Borrow Street? It's good to check that every now and then. To come back and say, how are we doing? Can we even see the eye chart? Do we have an idea of whether we are accomplishing what God has laid out for us to do? In your worship folder, you have a set of sermon notes that will explore just a couple of aspects as we have time this morning. We'll explore why vision? Why even talk about vision? Is it even important to talk about? Or is it just sort of a catchphrase that we use nowadays to get people motivated? And then we'll look at our vision statement of Village Bible Church and say, what has God laid upon the elders here? What has God laid upon the leaders here that Village is to be about? The first question we have to ask is, why is vision important? Is vision important? I want to do a little exercise this morning just to make sure we're all awake. If everyone could stand up. I know we were just standing up and just greeting everyone. I want you to pick a location about 5 feet from you. Okay, just look around. Pick a location about 5 feet from you. Got it in your mind? Now go there. Okay. 10, 20 feet. Okay, just look around. What did you see? What do you see? Everyone picked a different spot. Did anyone pick the same spot? No fist fights over it or anything like that. What I saw is a lot of people trying to go to different spots, and everyone is going different directions. Some people were running into each other. The aisles aren't necessarily that big for everyone to be crossing. You can go back to your seats now and have a seat. As tempting as it is to just stand there in the same place. An exercise like that is helpful to start with to illustrate what can happen if we don't have vision. And as we think about vision, as we think about the importance of vision, oftentimes thinking about what happens to an organization, what happens to a person, what happens to a church without vision is helpful. I love the clip from Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if you've seen it, where Alice is lost and she's looking around and she comes on this tree and it has all these arrows pointing in about 10 million different directions, maybe about 10, but something like that. And all of the arrows are blank. And pretty soon you see this big smile and Cheshire Cat is sitting up on the branch there. And this interchange happens. Alice looks at the cat, says, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" The cat said, "That depends a good deal on where you want to go." "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. "So long as I get somewhere," Alice added as an explanation. "Oh, you're sure to do that," said the cat, "if you only walk long enough." We need to know where we're going if we're going to get somewhere productive, if we're going to get somewhere where God wants us to go. And so as we look at why vision is important, the first thing you have there is, what is our foundation? And our foundation and the theological principle of understanding vision and even talking about vision is that God has willed and God has equipped our church to do something specific for Him. God has in mind something He wants Village Bible Church to do. And if we understand that theological concept, then that gives us a foundation to explore that. If we can't agree on that right from the start, then why even have the conversation? But let me read some verses to you. Psalm 57:2. "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me." Psalm 138, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Last one is Ephesians 3, and I'd like us to turn there. If you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3, starting at verse 10. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. A couple of words to notice there. His intent. It is God's purpose to use the church. It is His plan to use the church, in this case, to share the manifold wisdom of God, to make Him known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. In verse 11, "According to His great purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the foundation of even having a series like this, the foundation of even talking about vision, is that because of the death and resurrection, because of the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord, God has designed the church for a purpose. He has intended us to be part of His plan to reach the world. And the thing about plans, when God has a plan for us, that means it's there waiting to be found. It's waiting to be explored. It's waiting to be fleshed out. It's waiting to be acted upon. And that was His intent. That now, through the church. And so our question this morning is, what does God want us to do? If He intends for Village to do something for Him, and He does, His Word says that, what does He want us to do? a passage that we'll keep coming back to is the Great Commission. As right, Nick read that in worship this morning, as right before Christ leaves the earth, he gives marching orders. He says, this is your purpose, this is what you're to be about. And the familiar verses really come back to what our vision and purpose should be here on earth. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And in the coming weeks, we'll explore different parts of the Great Commission. We'll explore different parts of what God has instructed the church to do. But the foundation is that He has instructed us to do something. And to do nothing is to avoid His purposes and is to avoid His plans. The foundation of why vision is important is the saving work of Christ and that God has a vision and a purpose for us. The results of that vision, as we just think practically about the importance of vision in an organization, the results of that vision enables us to carry out the will of God. And again, if we think of what happens when we have vision versus what happens when we don't have vision, Proverbs 29:18 in the New American Standard says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Think about that word for a minute. I think confusion. I think wild. When I think of restraining a wild animal, that's bringing them under control. That's having, when you think of a horse, it's bringing them under control for a purpose. And the author of Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. King James translates that, the people perish. People perish. That is how important vision is. Turn with me again, and we'll be looking through a lot of passages this morning as we look at different aspects. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. And in Exodus chapter 32, we see Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, to meet with our Lord, and Aaron, perhaps not the best vision keeper, is left back in camp. And we see a perfect example an incredible example of what happens when there is no vision and when that vision is not kept. Exodus chapter 32, verse 22. Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. We could go into that, but that's, yeah. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So I told them, and I'm adding my own words here. Okay, whatever you want. Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me gold and I threw it into the fire and out came this calf. I've heard excuses for assignments missing and for different things, but that takes the cake. I threw it in the fire, out came this calf. And look at the results in verse 25. Moses saw that the people were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. And literally what that meant is that God's glory was a laughingstock to their enemies. And God will not let His glory be challenged. And we see in this story, Moses has left and he was the keeper of vision. And Aaron just sort of let it go. And Aaron went with the whim and went with whatever the people said. And the result was exactly what Proverbs says, an unrestrained people, or as Moses saw, that people would be running wild. Out of these verses, we see just a couple of points of why vision is so important. Why it is important to have this discussion. The first result of having vision and understanding vision as a church is it keeps us on track and accountable. It keeps us focused on what we should be focused on. If we have a clear understanding of what God wants us to do, it's much easier to have a clear idea of when we're not doing what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Instead of just saying, well, I don't know if this was effective, I don't know if this was helping anyone, if we have a clear sense of what God has called Village Bible to do, we have a way to evaluate. We have a way to hold accountable. Keeps us on track and accountable. In the case of the children of Israel not having vision, let them get way off track and delve into sin. And when we're not clear about what God wants us to do, when we're not clear about following His will and making His will the center of our lives, sin is almost always the result. Sin is almost always the result. Because we'll go anywhere and we'll be tossed to and fro. And the evil one will jump on that opportunity. It's interesting, I was reading a study earlier this week about teens. And it was dealing with drug use. And one of the things that they said could help teens avoid drug use is if they had a clear purpose in life. If they had a clear vision for what they should be doing rather than just being idle. And that is so true, not just of teens. That is true of any of us, but it's true of us as a church. If we don't have a clear sense of why we do what we do, then we become idle and we become unproductive for our Lord and Savior. First result of vision is it keeps us on track, keeps us accountable. Second benefit of vision, the second reason why it's so important, is it helps us define our priorities. Helps us get things done. As we look forward as a church, and we've had a lot of talk of what ministries should we have and what ministries should we not have, and what is God calling us to do? The question always needs to start with vision. What has God called us in the broad sense as a church to do? And every ministry and everything we do gets compared to that. How does this fit into God's vision? Our vision statement that we'll be talking about is building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. And so having a clear vision gives us a way to set our priorities. And so as we consider different ministries, the question is, how does this help us build Christ-focused families? How does this help us disciple our community for Him? And if we can't answer that question, then it's probably not something we should be doing. It may be good, it may be beneficial in some way, but it isn't at the core of what we're about as a church. And it sacrifices our priorities. What if Aaron had a clear idea that his priority was to keep the children of Israel faithful to the one and true God? That as he was giving his commandments, his very words to Moses, that Aaron's task was to keep a people ready to hear God's word. But instead, he got sidetracked. Let's build a calf. Moses is gone. Let's do whatever. And if we don't have a clear idea of where we're going, we will go like Alice anywhere. And we won't know where we'll end up. Aaron gave in. And it was disastrous. And led to a people that were unrestrained. As we define our priorities, as we work together as a church, some of our goals are encapsulated in that. And one of the things that allows us to do is to work together, to cooperate. See, the interesting thing is if I had you all stand up and instead of saying go wherever you want to go, if I said everyone take 5 steps to the right, it would have looked like a choreographed marching band. It would have been a thing of beauty, except for maybe the people that can't take 5 steps to the right. That would have been just fun to watch, But it allows us to cooperate. In Philippians 2, as Paul writes to a Philippians church, a church at Philippi, and encourages them to come together, he writes in verse 2, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Being one in spirit and purpose. And we see Paul tying the idea of having the same purpose with being like-minded, with cooperation, with a harmony rather than dissension. See, when we're about the things that are important, we don't have time to argue about the petty little things. There's not a lot of argument about the color of paint on the walls of foxholes. It's just not important. And when we have a clear idea of what God has called us to do, and time is short, and we need to be about that, it brings a new sense of cooperation as a church. One of our goals as a church should be to be about the main things, to be about the vision that God has called us to do, and to watch out for the petty little things that distract. At Wildwood, one of the nights, we took a number of the guys out on the lake. And some were in kayaks, which just didn't look like something a 41-year-old would want to do. And so a couple of us got in canoes. Much less risk of tipping over. Leave the kayaks for the young guys. But a simple principle. When you're in a canoe, both people need to row together. What happens if you don't? You can go in circles. If you're rowing against each other, you just create waves and stay in the same spot. And you don't get anything done. May we as a church row together. May we agree on our purpose that we explore in the next few weeks. May we agree that that is our primary reason to be here. Having a purpose also allows us to focus our effort rather than just do busy work, rather than just do anything. It allows us to hone in on what God wants us to do. Why have vision? Keeps us on track and accountable. It defines our priorities, which should be serving our Lord and Savior. Thirdly, it encourages growth rather than simple existence. It encourages going somewhere rather than just staying stagnant. God doesn't want a body that is stagnant. He wants a body that is growing, that is being built up as He is the head. But if we don't have an idea of where we're going, we'll just sit there and stagnate. Encourages growth rather than simple existence. A couple of other things the vision does for us, it invigorates us rather than discourages us. Have you ever noticed how when there's no clear direction and we don't feel like we're doing what God wants us to do, the result is discouragement. The result is, did I even accomplish what God wants me to do? But there is something incredible about God's purposes. There is something amazing when people come to Him because we have been faithful to His Word. When lives are changed, when families are built stronger because we have been faithful to our purpose. And that invigorates and motivates and inspires. And finally, the fifth thing that vision allows for us is it allows us to believe by faith what God can do instead of deciding what God can't do. It allows us to believe by faith what God can do rather than decide for ourselves what God cannot do. So many times when we look at huge tasks and when we look at things that God would love to do with our church, our first mode of operation might be, well, I can list you all 5 reasons or all 20 reasons why that won't work. And God is a God of making things work that we think won't work. And as I look ahead for Village and as I look ahead for some of the things that God might have for us, I am convinced that He has some incredible things ahead for us. Things that on their surface may look like it can never happen. Things that will change lives. Things that will touch our community. What if we can touch every house in this community? What if? What if we can expand that and touch houses in your own communities and reach people for Christ? What if families here are so strong that they buck the trend of culture over and over and over? What if 30 youth can stand up on a Sunday morning and proclaim that God is their Savior in a world that is throwing youth away? Vision allows us to believe by faith what God can and will do rather than be discouraged by what we think He can't do. The children of Israel, as they sat waiting for Moses to come down the mountain, were convinced God had failed. They were convinced of what God can't do. Moses must be dead. There was thunder. There was lightning. Can't be good. The earth moved. Like Wednesday. Can't be good. And instead of understanding what God was doing and believing the direction that God had for them, they succumbed to what God can't do in their minds. Vision is vital for Village. If we are to move forward, if we are to be used by God, it is so important that we see clearly what God can and is doing. I don't know if there's any NASCAR fans here. Yesterday, I just caught part of the race, and it was one of the first races in rain for NASCAR. And they had, some of the drivers had little windshield wipers going, and at one point someone had a little squeegee out, trying to squeegee off his window. And at the end of the race, the rain was coming down harder, and a lot of the drivers were complaining, and there was an interview with a crew chief, but their complaint was, we just can't see where we're going. We just can't see where we're going. And in this interview with the crew chief, he was saying, you know, if we don't stop this race soon, somebody's going to get hurt. Because if they can't see where they're going, you don't know where they're going to go. And somebody's going to get hurt. The very next scene, they pan to a car that no longer had a front end. Well, it was sort of just smashed. And this was all under, if you know anything about racing, this was under caution. So they were going slow and careful. They panned to another car, and the whole back end was gone. And you could tell that they had met and gotten to know each other a little bit. And then they panned to another car with an ambulance coming to it, and it's against the wall. And this is all under the safety of driving slowly. And every driver that they pulled out, they said, we couldn't see where we were going. And it was disastrous. As a church, we want to be about seeing where we're going. Not that we're picking it, but the foundation that we talked about at the beginning is that God has a plan for us. And so we're simply seeking His vision. We're not making it up ourselves. We can't just say, you know what, I think we want to be a church that ministers to high-salaried athletes. We can't just pick our vision. It's about what is God doing. And that's the foundation. And then we look at a whole number of results of following that vision. Next week, in the next part of our series, we'll look at the bottom half of your notes. And we'll explore Village's vision. What are we about? We've talked a little bit more general today. But what are we about as Village Bible Church? What has God called us to do? And in the next few weeks, we'll explore some ideas. We'll explore some what-ifs as we break down that vision statement into four tangible aspects that we as a church are to be putting into practice. As we end today, I want to end with just a couple of thoughts. As you look at your family, as you look at your immediate family, do you see more evidences of a family without vision or with vision? We've been talking as a church, but an application of this has to be in our own homes. In your home, do you know what God wants you to do? In your home, have you explored why does God have us here? So many times I see homes that are fracturing and splintering because everyone's going different directions. And it's about coming together and rowing together. And as we explore our vision as a church, I encourage you to explore your vision in your home. What are you about? God has brought you to Orange County with your family for a reason far beyond your happiness. What is it? In a moment, we're going to sing one more song. It's a song that talks about vision. I just want to read some of the words to you as we think about vision and we think about asking God to be the foundation of that vision. And as we look at our vision statement, placing Him as a priority. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. Let's stand together and proclaim that our vision has the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we'll celebrate communion together as we celebrate that we are a family and we are together seeking God's vision, which has the foundation of the work and blood of our Lord and Savior.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Seated. Lord God, our Father, as we talk about your plans, your vision for our church, we have to start with the blood and body of your Son. Because by that act on the cross, you bought us with a price, and we are not our own. We are yours. And if we are truly yours, then we are to be about your purpose, and your mission, and your plans. And so, Lord, this morning as we, as your body, proclaim that we will be about your vision, we start by remembering the death and resurrection of your Son. Thank you for an incredible gift of grace that we can never repay, and that was completely undeserved. Thank you, Lord God. In your name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together in remembrance of our Lord. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Lord God, may we remember. May we live in light of your sacrifice. And Lord, as we begin this series, I pray for Village Bible Church, and we pray together that we would be open vessels in your hand, moldable clay, that as we look at the future, where you lead, we will follow, and that nothing will hinder us from following you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you, Lord God, in your name.